This is the JetBlue Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady, empty backfield, shotgun. Time to throw toward the end zone. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
The pregame social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hard of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in the Mile High City to take on the 8-5 Denver Broncos.
Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, end zone. Yeah! Touchdown! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Well, after a couple of weeks of 1 o'clock starts, Andy, we're back. We're back at 4:15 in our 2 o'clock start here.
Luckily.
In Foxborough. Yeah, we're not ready for today, are we?
Oh, I'm ready. Tebow and Gerard Mayo making $50 million.
Yeah, a lot of news.
Why don't you just set it on a tee for me and tell me to swing?
We got a lot of news today.
Holy crap.
And I'm sure that most of our listeners are already aware, but we'll lead right off with it. Gerard Mayo signed a 5-year contract extension. The numbers are starting to come in now. $50 million.
Ish, a little under.
You know, some guarantees in there.
25 to 27 is some guarantees.
Including some guarantees
Kraft
is far
Mayo
out to 2015.
As Mike Reese reported, no other player in the NFL has guaranteed money in 2015 other than Gerard Belichick.
So we'll obviously talk a lot about that, and we'll get your opinions on that on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. But I also want to let you know, 5 players were downgraded to out, and those include Patrick Chung, Sebastian Vollmer, Deion Branch, an interesting one, Brandon Spikes, Shane Vereen. So again,
I'm
we can play our favorite game.
And I can't get up.
We could play Guess the Final Inactive once again, because we know, obviously, Ryan Mallett will be the 6th. So we can always play our favorite game of Guess the Final Inactive.
So Dan Conley's back, right? So
Dan Conley did indeed make the trip.
Donald Thomas?
I'm going to go...
Do you really need all those guys on the inside? They both play fullback. You
gotta
have Wendell and Conley.
You got to figure it's an offensive lineman this week. Last week we went defensive lineman because we knew Conley was one of the inactives.
I'm going Donald's out.
Yeah, I think you might be right
plus
with that
lineman
one.
In case they come out and run the option and all of a sudden you're trying to go heavy up front, a guy sprains an ankle.
Right.
Maybe go a little heavier there.
Well, as we know every week, and we're in, what, week 15 by now, so everybody knows the drill. A lot of different ways that you guys can join us. It's a very interactive show, and we encourage as much participation as possible, whether that be through email at webradio@patriots.com, on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, on the Twitter feed. Andy Hart loves to read the tweets during the course of the show. Make sure you give us a hashtag of PPGS, Patriots Pregame Social. And on the Facebook page, we want some photos. A huge gathering last night, Andy, out in Denver.
Yes.
Of the Pat's Peak?
Pat's Peak Patriots.
Patriots fan club led by the lovely
Pikes
Ann.
Peak.
Pikes Peak.
Yeah, not Pat's Peak.
Yeah, that would be a local skiing lodge. But led by the lovely and talented Ann.
Out in Denver.
Out in Denver. It was right around the corner, and she was very excited about it.
She's the best.
And I haven't gotten any scouting reports as to what the party was like from
she
Eric and Fred yet.
An awesome picture of a Gillette Stadium cake that they made. It's up on the Facebook page.
Nice.
Right,
so we'll get that stuff up on Facebook, and we'll, like to chime in with that every once in a while. Matt is running the show today for Kevin because Kevin's actually in Denver.
So it'll be a good show.
So that means we won't have any technical glitches. We'll have a poll shortly, but like we do each and every week, we lead off with Andy Hart giving us the update from fantab.com.
Interestingly, Paul, numbers are down. 81 average fan confidence rating right now on FanTab. It's actually risen 2 points in the last 24 hours. So it was in the high 70s. You were in C-plus range in terms of fan confidence as of yesterday or last night even. And I find that interesting. I don't really know what to make of it, if that's just the final frustration of the defense and harsh reality kind of just setting in that, as Bill would say, it is what it is in terms of the defense. I don't know, but I would urge Patriots fans, if you don't agree that your team confidence rating should be at about an 81, borderline dropping out of the B's and into the C's, go on FanTab, sign up, use your Twitter, your Facebook, whatever the heck you want to use, and get the fan confidence rating up, or go down if you want to. If you think the defense is that bad and it's an albatross tugging this team down, then go lower than that. Go on there, argue, pick a fight with Jets fans, who, by the way, have an average fan confidence rating right now of 50, which is double that of the Bills, which are way down at 25%. Remember how happy they were in Buffalo early in the year?
Well,
Fitzpatrick and Winnen and Jackson and Johnson. And now Fitzpatrick stinks, and Jackson's on IR, and Johnson's shooting himself in the leg and shooting the team in the foot by doing so.
Very well done right there.
Thank you. I seem to have the ability to speak today, unlike some previous shows.
Yes, the Bills are a mess in terms of health, in terms of performance, every way imaginable.
And their fans feel that way with a 25% confidence rating. Yeah, but Patriots fans, get on FanTab. Either get that rating up or drive it down.
Yeah, no reason for Patriots fans to feel the same way. Interesting game. Obviously, I think the name Tim Tebow is going to be brought up throughout our 2 hours here. Andy can't even wait.
Well, I just want to say, I want to urge people to head on over to the PFW blog. We have posted the skit from last night's Saturday Night Live, which is about Tim Tebow, and by extension, the Patriots, Brady, Belichick are all referenced. It's like a four-minute skit. Head over to the blog, because we'll probably talk about it a lot today, and you're going to want to have seen it, so you'll get what we're referring to probably when we talk about it at various points. But I would also argue it may be in the top five of funniest Saturday Night Live skits I've ever seen. I thought the writing was tremendous. I thought the acting. I'm a big fan of the little smirks while acting, and there was a lot of that, and just very funny. You may be offended by a couple things they say about the Patriots, but other than that, it's very
really
funny.
Really only one thing.
Yeah, one thing. They may have, well, I don't want to ruin it, so go watch it. Go on the PFW blog. We got the video link there, and take 4 minutes of your time, watch that, and then tune back in to us so we can discuss it later.
Yeah, let us know what you think. And, Matt, do we have our first poll up on the Facebook page yet?
We do. It
Why is, don't you give us a shout? What do we got?
Who will have the most catches today as Deion Branch's replacement? And it's Tyquan Underwood, Chad Ochocinco, Julian Edelman, or Matthew Slater. Pretty much all your wide receivers that are left.
I do think that poll leads us to an interesting topic, Andy. And I know that you're not a huge, not hugely concerned about Deion Branch's absence, nor am I. But
it's mostly production related.
I do have a question for you. Who gets the snaps?
I think you will see. I think that was a good poll.
Yes,
I think
they'll
all be represented. Maybe it'll be a hot hand thing. Maybe one of them shows or a cold hand thing, by the way. If Ocho gets out there and has a drop, or Underwood gets out there and has a drop, then all of a sudden maybe you see Edelman get more snaps or what. But I think all three of those guys will get not so sure about Slater, since he seems to be a defensive player now. I think you'll see all three of those guys. You know how Bill always talks about the personnel groups and how things come together and all that? I think you'll see some unique personnel groups today. But that it's an interesting poll, because we've talked about, are you comfortable with the big four, quote-unquote, on offense, with Branch and Welker and then the tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez? And obviously, if you're going to lose any of the four, I'm assuming it's safe to say Branch is the one you want out.
But I agree.
That is the big – I mean, that's the primary offensive set for the New England Patriots, is those four guys. Although Branch, the bulk of his production has come in like three, maybe four games. He had the two big games to open the year with 15 catches. Then he had that 126-yard game a couple weeks ago. Other than that, he's had a lot of games with two catches for 30
Philadelphia,
yards.
He had the big game in Philly, right?
Other than that, it's been a lot of two, three catches, you know, 30 yards, you know, kind of disappearing, not really doing much.
Yep.
You know, even had some miscommunications of late, which is really – what you don't expect from him and Brady. So I think it's interesting, A, that he's out, and then B, how they fill it up. Yeah. And if it may have zero. I mean, you could see Welker have eight catches for 90 yards, and then Gronk with his normal, whatever his new career day will be after his last 12 career days in a row, where he has 180 yards and two touchdowns and all that, and not even really miss one of your top four targets.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting last week when Branch was out with the groin problem late in the Washington game. It was Underwood who seemed to get the snaps. That's why I bring it up as something to keep an eye on today.
Did you know there's a Volkswagen Tiquan?
Yeah, I don't think
it's... behind one today on the road.
Yeah, it's not spelled the same thing, though. Well,
it kind of looked like it.
Yeah, it's got a different...
Wasn't T-I-Q-U-A-N?
I don't think so. But I'm not positive on that. These are the kinds of things you learn on the Patriots pregame social. As we do every week, we always like to lead off on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We go right to Vegas and get the numbers down pat with Jeff.
Heavens to Betsy!
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Gee, I thought Eric was the only one, Kevin was the only one who could get those drops. And I see Matt is far superior to Kevin Collins.
He is far superior. Well said. We don't need Kevin, nor do we want him.
Yeah, well, guys, Vegas is just whipped up into a frenzy over this game, and Kansas City could well upset the Green Bay Packers, but no one would care with Tebow New England happening.
That's right. All Tebow all the time.
And that skit on SNL was absolutely hilarious.
Must see.
As Anne from the Pikes Peak Pats fan club would say.
I'd be interested to see if the real Patriots superfans find it funny, because they do take one little shot in there.
Yeah, there is a shot.
I won't ruin it, but they do take a little shot in there, and I wonder if that'll rub anybody the wrong way into the point where that wasn't funny. That wasn't funny at all.
No, I don't think so, Andy. It's sort of like the pinnacle of having arrived, you know, the culmination of the past decade. I know Brady was on there a couple of years ago, but when I was a kid, you know, it was all these Dub Bears, and the Patriots would have never even gotten a sniff of
that. That's true. That's true, unless you were really the punchline of, you know, bags on your faces at the old Foxborough Stadium for going 1-15.
Yeah, like a Rod Rust.
Yes.
Reference. Very, very, very apropos. Anyway, to the game. Started out New England -6, went up -7, -7.5, touched -9.5 last night in some areas, believe it or not. Settled in New England by 7.5 total. Settled in at 47.
47, interesting. Okay, where's the you got the sound smart money of the week? Where's it going? Where's it going?
So wait, Steve.
Correct, Jeff. Smart money play of the week. Well, not to disappoint, Anthony, not from Naples, but from Toronto.
Oh boy.
An excellent emailer, by the way. I'm going with everyone else except Eric. It's New England big all the way. It ends today. We blow Tebow. We blew out of the water. New England huge today.
You're right. We do blow him out of the water. Whatever else you want to do with Tebow, you do on your own time out in Vegas.
It's your own business.
But,
exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see it. The only way they can do anything, in my opinion, is if they come out and they try to throw the ball and suddenly he is completing passes on this defense, and that's a really bad sign for this defense. But other than that, I'll be absolutely stunned if it's 10-7 in the fourth quarter and he's in one of those games where he can pull it out late. Stunned.
Exactly, Andy. So bet the house on New England. Now, however, as Tim from Pensacola so eloquently laid out on Friday, we are going to take 35 basis points, one-third of a unit, and put it on Denver on the money line at +280, 3-1 essentially, just in case. We know that Denver is the house of horrors for the Patriots.
Yes.
Camp Bailey locks us down. He's very good. The depleted wide receiver corpse for the Pats. The Denver pass rush is formidable.
Yep.
Our sieve defense and the thing that's haunted us forever out there, the altitude.
Yep. Even though Bill said, nah, nothing, nah.
No, both teams have to breathe the same air.
Yeah, but they breathe it all the time.
Right.
Right. I know
both fish and humans have to breathe the same water, but one will play well in the water and one won't. You'll die.
And
not quite the same, but I see where you're going with that.
Last thing, and I hope no one managed to catch the Eric Scalavino postcard. I'm not doing laps in the outside pool under the Purple Mountain's majesty. It was really G-A-Y.
Gah.
Yeah.
No,
gah. Undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU-ish.
Correct. So, yeah, Patriots big, but just in case the unthinkable happens and hell freezes over, we got to put a 35 basis points on Broncos money line.
Smart
all right, Jeff.
Play. That's
the Jeff smart play.
We
smart
do have a little bit of upset Sunday shaking out Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Packers are losing. The Texans are getting bludgeoned by Carolina.
I'm not sure that's really an upset. I mean, sooner or later it was going to happen.
Yeah.
New Orleans is only up one on Minnesota, too.
Yeah, so there's some close games around the league. The Giants are in a world of trouble at home against Washington, 17-0.
Now, as you know, you're one of those crazy or used to be a crazy super fan, gambler, all these things.
That would be accurate. A lot of times you characterize me in inaccurately.
What's the mentality? Your team going up against an unknown, a street, Are you more scared that the upset could happen because all these upsets are happening, or saying, well, that gets the upsets out of the way, my team will cruise?
The latter.
Okay.
That's how I always look at those.
Okay.
When it seems like there's a lot of teams in trouble, I think that you can't help but know that when you're playing. And
that's, you know, like the mouse trap from Belichick.
Sort of like, hey, listen, you know, he goes out there, you know, and maybe, listen, maybe I'm all wet. Maybe he doesn't even mention anybody else. Maybe that's like, you know, taboo in an NFL locker room. But I think it's very easy to say, you know, they thought they were going to roll. They thought they were going to roll. They thought they were going to roll, and they all lost. So let's take care of business. Let's be focused here.
And he may not even have to. He may have underlings.
Sure.
You know, the Kevin Anderson types, the ball boys and player personnel people and all those saying, wow, did you see the Packers lost to the Chiefs? And so, yeah, what a crazy day.
Yeah, and it's shaping up, even if they don't end up being all these upsets, it's shaping up as a crazy day. I mean, period. I mean, there's a lot of strange scores on that board already in the second quarter.
Yeah, but you don't want to join the crazy mix.
No.
You want to join the normal mix, which is Brady throws 5 touchdowns and it's 38-5. I'm going 5 there.
38-5. Well, that's why I like the under.
You know why? Intentional.
Well, the last time they were there, right?
I don't know why you do it in a 38-3 game.
I should say the last time they won there, right. Not the last time they were there. I just want to read a quick email here. This is from Tim in...
Please tell me not Pensacola.
No, Germany.
Okay.
Just wanted you guys to name me live on live radio because I watched last weekend's game win over the Redskins. Being successful everywhere abroad eventually. Yeah, greetings from good old Europe to be exact, Germany.
City of Sagan?
Is it Sagan or Saigon?
I'm sure Brooklyn Matt will tell us.
Have a nice weekend. So Tim just wanted us to read his name on the air, so I wanted to get to
Tim,
the email.
Tim, nein sprechen Sie Deutsch.
I'm still a little bit intrigued by the Mayo contract, and I know I don't want, you know, at the risk of setting you off.
Just let me know when you're ready for me to rant.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Does London Fletcher make $50
million? Kraft and Mayo go together.
Now, this is a football decision.
But there's some emailers who seem to be on your side, Andy, and I should say our side, because I think we're in one of those rare moments of lockstep. Kyle says, with Gerard Mayo's new contract extension reportedly worth $50 million, I have to ask, is he worth that much money?
No.
Keep in mind, Patrick Willis received a $50 million contract as well, and most people will tell you he is substantially better than Mayo. Mayo is the best linebacker on the team, but I don't know if he is deserving of being the highest-paid linebacker among the highest-paid linebackers in the game. I think we both agree with that.
Now, the thing I want, it's not huge money, the difference. He's probably a $7.5 million linebacker when you start really going through the hierarchy of guys similar to him.
Right.
But in my opinion, well, $48.5 million over five, that's going to be 9.5-ish, basically. That's too much. For a team that bends over backwards to make sure it's not paying too much to anyone. It's all about value. To me, he's making $1 to $2 million a year at least beyond what the market says he's worth. Now, I would argue I'm not even sure he's worth that because I just – maybe it'll work out like the Pro Bowls. Remember he didn't look like a Pro Bowl linebacker until he was elected to the Pro Bowl last year. Then he goes out in Buffalo and he looks like a great player. Maybe that'll happen this week. He gets a $50 million contract.
And now he'll
look
like a $50 million linebacker. Yeah. You know,
see, me,
listen,
I'm always positive. Take a positive spin on this.
I think people would say that you're a lot of things always, but that's not one of them.
Awesome.
Anyway, now you completely lost my train of thought
here.
I
said one word. I said awesome.
Oh, boy.
Gerard
Paul
Mayo.
I wanted to
bring up. You were talking about some numbers that you were throwing out there, how it wasn't that far off of probably where his value is. And you and I had a chance to talk to somebody who has some knowledge of contracts and numbers around the league.
Fred.
And this gentleman brought up the name Paul Posluszny, who is somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million, I believe.
Yeah, I believe.
Now I think Mayo is a better player than Paul Posluszny. I think he's more versatile. I think he's more productive. I think he's a better player. He's certainly been more durable, even though Mayo has dealt with his share of injuries. He's been able to come back from them.
Has he?
So my point is that if that's $7 million and that's what it's worth, then you know this, you're probably right. It's probably not that much of a gap here of where we would be happy.
I want Julius Peppers. If we're going to spend $10 million on somebody, I want a pass rusher.
Listen, I can't argue with that. I don't think that Mayo is an all-pro linebacker. I know that his resume says that he is. I don't think he is one. But I also,
what am I doing?
I think they paid a little too much, but I don't think it's completely out of the, you know, out of the water.
Good news off the Twitter feed. Well, I don't know if it's good news.
What do you
it's
got?
News. PFW Eric, and many of you got this if you're following the PPGS hashtag. Chad Ochocinco getting a lot of pregame route running work in at Mile High. So the possibility maybe he is going to see his most extensive playing time with the absence of one Deion Branch. I hope he's ready. He's got to at least top one catch for 21 yards, or people will be saying, should have kept Price. Should have kept Price.
Let's check back in with the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul is at the UNC. Paul, how are you?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, it's interesting that Andy actually just brought up the pass rushing issue because I actually wanted to bring that up. Did you see your boy Quinny blocked a punt earlier today in the St. Louis game?
Another one? He blocked one earlier this year, too. Huh.
I know.
Why can't we get athletes like that on this team?
I know. Imagine if we had actually moved up and picked him.
Yeah, would have been nice. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Maybe it'll be this year.
I can't totally complain about the job that Carter and Anderson have done this year. I think they've done admirable. The problem that I have with it is, I'm sure the same that you guys have, is that we didn't go out and draft someone looking more towards the future.
Plus,
now, the reason I called in is because I don't think to look any farther than North Carolina yet again to get a little bit of a sleeper pick here on another pass rusher coming out of the University of North Carolina this year.
Who's that?
Number 90, Quentin Copel.
I thought you were going to say that.
The reason I say that he's a bit of a sleeper is because, well, he missed his junior year with that whole debacle with all of the people getting benched for the season.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a name that some fans had actually started bringing up, like, you know, 5 days after the draft last year, and said I should just stick with North Carolina, stick with Quinning, stick with Quinn and the whole thing, and just go for him. I haven't done a lot of research on him. I haven't seen him play that much, just a couple flashes, so I'm not really willing. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm still looking for a pass rusher. And you said, you know, Anderson and Carter have done an admirable job, and I think they have, but you could have had both. You could have drafted Quinn in April and then signed one, two, both of those guys, and they all could have played.
Yeah,
you know that's the issue. You could
and
have had a long-term,
and you would also
short-term.
Have a younger guy that you could look forward
right.
to.
No, you'd have Andre Carter teaching, and Andre Carter, if anything, is a great professional.
Yes.
If you know, if you had concerns about Quinn coming in because of the agent thing and missing time and whatever work, you know, there were a lot of questions kind of behind the scenes. Andre Carter would be a good guy for him to hang around with for a year or two and learn
right.
what it's supposed to be an NFL pass rusher, a professional. So I'm with you. I feel you.
Kind of like what L.G. Crumpler did for Gronkowski.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I think
no
he
doubt.
Helped those guys. I think that's a good analogy, Paul.
Yep. Guys with tremendous talent that maybe they need a little bit of that veteran presence. We could have had that, but could have, should have, would have. Instead, we got Mayo for $50 million. How you like them apples?
Who do you like today, Paul?
Oh, we are going to T-blow them out of the water. It's not even going to be close. Are you kidding me?
I agree.
Wow, that would be a good cover.
Oh, I even get a rim shot. That's my first rim shot of the
Hey,
perfect.
Now. Hey,
my
now.
My third time calling in, I finally get one.
First rim shot. That's a memorable moment in life.
All right.
I'll leave you with that.
Appreciate the call, Paul.
So would T-blowing be okay for the cover?
Yeah, I don't think so. Probably
I think
not.
That's skating on thin ice right there.
I want to get back to the emails for a second. Gene in Daytona. I read the Mark Kisla article. Who? I'm not sure I know this one.
Denver Post.
In the Denver Post. Yeah, but I'm not really familiar with it. He writes in it that he interviewed Wesley Woodward. I think it's Woodyard, isn't it? But anyway, Broncos linebacker in the Broncos locker room, where he told Kisla that Tim Tebow approached him in the Bears game and said to him, "Don't worry about a thing because God has spoken to me." My question to you guys is, now since we have factual proof through Woodward's own words that Tim is in direct contact with God, do you think Tim would help BB out in next year's draft? Bill doesn't listen to you guys, so do you think he would listen to God through Tim's connection? Maybe it all doesn't matter anyway. I bet Roger Goodell has some NFL rule in the books. Used in the books against it. It probably says if Bill used God's advice in the draft, it would be considered gaining a competitive advantage and would be subject to some kind of penal punishment. By the way, thanks,
penal
Paul
punishment.
And Andy and Kevin and Auto Trader for the gift certificate from my last email.
You're welcome.
That's Gene in Daytona. Well, you deserve it because you do a good job of participating in our show every week and giving us some good stuff to
get your
on.
Wife something nice.
Sorry, Matt. I didn't give Matt any credit. He was looking at me with palms raised. It's kind of like Tebow.
I don't think Bill converses with God.
I hope
it's an upstairs downstairs thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You may get that if you watch the SNL skit.
All right, going to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We got a lot of calls coming in, Andy. It's good to see. It's Tyrone in Delaware. Tyrone, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Lots to talk about. Very excited. A lot of energy.
Well, I was listening to you guys. I'm watching the Green Bay Kansas City game, and I turned on the pregame social, and then on my phone. Then I heard you guys say that Gerard Mayo, because I saw that on my app Saturday or Friday, I think it was, that he got an extension. So I figured, you know, but when you guys just say that he got $50 million, are you kidding me? who is making these personnel need to be fired? Need to be straight up fired. Now, I thought New England, being with New England, a fan for a couple of years now, say 10 years, 11 years, I know New England to underpay. Now, they could have gave Gerard Mayo any contract. Nobody would have won him.
I don't think that's true. Nah, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan.
No, but I'm saying, but who's going to take anybody off of this defense that's last in the league? That's just how it goes.
If Gerard Mayo had gotten to free agency, and that would have been after next season, he would have gotten a nice contract from somebody. He's a very good player. Somebody would bring him in to be a leader and the focal point of the defense and a coach on the field and all that. But
not that money. And we playing around with Randy Moss. We didn't even want to get there. And then we got Wes Welker. What are we going to do with him? I mean, now you tell me you give a Wes Welker a $50, $30 million contract. Okay, that's fine with me. He still make plays. He's a pro bowler. But, Andy, you've been saying it all year. Gerard Mayo has been a disappointment.
He's definitely a disappointment, but he's young. That's one of the big value differences between Mayo and Welker. Welker didn't get his big contract at the right time. Gerard Mayo is getting his big contract as he heads into the prime of his career. That's a major difference in the NFL.
Wow. Well, I'm just stunned. I'm really stunned. And we here playing around. We don't even have a third option where we should go. And before I go, I want to ask you guys a question, and then I'll hear you guys off the air. If Big Bracket, is the Denver Broncos defense good enough to bracket Rob Gronkowski all game long? And if so, what's the other option? I'll talk to you guys another time.
See you, Tyrone. Well, I saw some stuff, and I don't know where it stands today, that how injured Dawkins is, and he may not be going at all. He was not at the walkthrough.
Yeah, he was not at the walkthrough yesterday.
That's a concern. I don't think he's what he once was.
Yeah, he's not, but it is a concern for them.
That's an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want a veteran presence on the field and a pretty physical veteran presence on the field, that could hurt them. I'm interested in this game to see how Denver matches up, how they treat it. I mean, you obviously have Champ Bailey, who is still a very good player. I'm not sure he's as good as he once was, but still a very good player. I think Goodman is a pretty good corner. I don't think he's great, but I think he's a pretty good player. So I'll be interested to see how they try to match things up.
Yeah, I think you're right about Dawkins, even though he has clearly slowed.
Yes.
Speed's not an issue if you want to do what Tyrone talked about.
Right.
If you're looking to bracket Gronkowski, you need a physical guy who's going to be where he's supposed to be.
Right.
You don't necessarily need an athlete that's going to be, you know, running stride for stride here and concerned about that. I have heard that Dawkins has considerably slowed, but his absence still would be a big loss for.
Yeah, I mean, I know they start the Carter kid at the other side. They have another young corner who also plays. I'm not really sure about David Bruton. Don't know much about him.
And evidently, Will Hite is a defensive back, according to John Fox. Yeah.
Hasn't really made an impact.
He did have a
John
pick
Fox
early in the. I don't know when that was, but
yeah, Kyle Arrington.
He does have one pick. But so he hasn't. I don't think he's really factored much into the equation. But let's see what Johnny in L.A. thinks. He's next on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Johnny. Yep.
Johnny boy.
Guys.
What's up?
How's it going?
Tremendous. I have a lot of energy today. That tends to happen when, you know, you're playing Tebow and Mayo gets $50 million. Lots to talk about.
Look, you need that energy because last week you brought none against the Redskins. It was took a week off.
I kept trying to tell him that it was going to be a tough game, and he kept yelling at me. He brought plenty of energy last week.
Yeah, I always bring energy. Get off my back. I got more today just
because. He was just wrong.
Hey, listen, you guys, obviously you know I love you, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're not exactly lockstep right now because, first of all, the Patriots have zero chance of blowing out the Broncos today.
Wow, zero chance.
Okay.
Against a team that converts 31% on third down, that goes 7 and out every week. I mean, 7 3-and-outs every week.
I don't go by stats. I go by wins. They've won 6 in a row. The Patriots play terribly there. They're going to win, and there's only one reason they're going to win, but it's going to be a close game.
And what's the one reason? God?
Because I'm watching at my house, and they've never lost a game I've watched at my house.
Well done. Good to know.
So I'm looking for a 23-16 type of game, but I just don't see. I mean, we're starting. We have Matthew Slater, our fifth wide receiver, is our starting safety. You got to face reality. The Patriots, you know.
Yeah, but they start a quarterback who can't throw.
I think the Pats can win a close game today. I really don't see them blowing them out. That place is going to be electric. It's going to be a fun game, but I just don't see us blowing them out. I really don't.
Okay, now if you're right, and about 7:30 our time tonight, I guess 4:30, whatever your time. If you're right, and that's it's 23-17, where will you be mentally leaving the game? What will that have you thinking over the next couple weeks and into January?
It's the team I thought they are. I think I know who the Patriots are, and I'm prepared to have a great regular season and probably get smoked in the first game of the playoffs again and move on with my life.
Wow.
Wah, wah, wah.
Hard to get happy after that.
And man, I'm the one who doesn't bring the energy. That's a very, very...
Well, he's bringing plenty of energy. It's just negative energy.
It's like Eric Scalavino brings negativity to everything he talks about.
By the way, hold on. Let's get off my negativity for a second and get on to Scalavino's postcard.
Uh-oh.
Unbelievable.
Should I read this? I haven't read it yet.
Guy is unbelievable. I mean, it was... I write, and I don't even know what to make of this guy. It's awesomely hilarious.
In a good way?
Awesomely hilarious.
In a God way.
Oh, it's God. Okay. So you're laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah.
Poor Eric. Don't tell him. He really puts a lot of work into those, and he thinks they're great, and don't tell him. He's not listening right now, so we won't tell him.
Listen, you know what? They're very well written, and he does put work into them, and so I'm 70% making fun of him, 30% proud of him. It's entertaining.
And you got to give him, he sticks to his guns. He's not going to let people phase him with their criticisms. He sticks to his guns, and for that, I credit him.
Yeah, it's been working for him so far.
All right, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Enjoy the close nail biter that's going to leave everybody upset.
Yeah, Johnny's a little bit worried about this one. I'm going to take a quick email from Bill Berry before we head to our first break of the day. And
he's my Berry favorite emailer.
Bill says that we honor him. Actually, he says I honor him by reading his email. Two rhymes for Gronkowski. The safety covering Gronkowski was as effective as a little mousy.
That doesn't rhyme.
That's true.
Mousy and Kowski does not rhyme.
Yeah, I think he's sort of intentionally
making
quasi-rhymes.
I took the bait then.
Also, Brown House Key, but I can't relate that to football in the 30 seconds it took to type this. Perhaps one of you listeners can. Any woman who can rhyme Gronkowski with Brown House Key in a clean limerick without the Patriots wins, a date with Eric Scalavino.
Nice.
Oh, Denver's defense was called the Crush. Orange. Now it is only a rusty door hinge. Thank you for your service.
When did we go down this road of poetry?
Bill signs out with
poetry
a P.S.
Social.
I probably won't listen to you live because I'm not not at a biker bar. I will not ask Big Earl, the bartender, to turn down the sound on the other game so I can hear you. And by the way, Syrah? Is that what that says?
Syrah?
There is no Wi-Fi in this I see. There is no Wi-Fi in this establishment. Once again, I do not feel anywhere near intelligent enough to accurately navigate my way through a Bill Berry email. It's just impossible. But we got a lot more coming up. We're going to take a quick break right now. We got the Ace Ticket Hotline is open. The emails are open. FanTab, we need the numbers to rise, and we got a big game with Tebow.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Right.
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autograph memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Planning a tailgate party of your own for this week's Patriots game? We want to hear from you. Tune in to the Patriots pregame social before every Patriots game and be part of the show. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. The Patriots pregame social, live every game on the Patriots Facebook page.
Back here on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. It's all Tebow all the time. Andy and Paul getting ready to lock horns with Tim Tebow. Did you see how I did that there? Lock horns with Tim Tebow.
Do you know I'm now
going the opposite direction as everybody else in terms of divine intervention.
I'm now officially known as like the biggest Tebow hater, according to Gary Tanquay.
You got
to
be up there. I mean, I don't like the guy, but you make me look like his best friend.
I hate him. Everything about him.
I know you do. You've made that abundantly clear. a lot of people agree with you. Gene in Daytona thinks he's not a leader. That's how much he said last week when he went to the sideline to congratulate, you know, on this after a touchdown pass instead of going down to celebrate with his teammates on the field, and he looks at this as a flaw that can destroy a team's unity.
I'm with you, Gene.
Usually comes with too much success too fast, and how you handle it determines if you're a leader or not.
Preach it, bruh.
Not sure I buy that.
Preach
one.
It. I'm buying. I'm all in.
Let's see here. Wow, we got a lot of long stuff.
That's
a lot
what
of long
said.
Emails. You know, when we get that, I'm going to head to the Ace Ticket Hotline instead. George is in York, Pennsylvania. George, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Tremendous. Excellent. You excited for today?
Well, your last two callers were upset about Gerard Mayo getting some extra time with the team. That's like the best thing they could have done at this point. I mean, the guy plays his position the way he's told to, and he does a great job. The defense doesn't give him a lot of opportunities to make splash plays, but who needs him?
Who needs
you
what?
You can't run against this guy.
Well, certainly did last week.
Yeah, here and there, that's going to happen with anybody. I mean, you can get.
I just think he's been the best player on a defense that's been terrible for 3 years.
Well, that's the secondary, though.
No, it's not just the secondary. The defense as a whole has not been very good.
Their pass coverage in the middle of the field has been terrible, and that's when you're an inside linebacker. That's where you're dropping to. Tight ends have given them problems. He's a factor in that. Now, I'm not saying he's the worst player ever.
Nor am I, by the way.
I think he's going to be – this contract overpays him. That's just my feeling.
I live right next door to Baltimore, and 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Ravens fans were saying, this guy's a young Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I know. Everybody
now,
was.
Hey,
Bill Polian was.
You were saying that two years ago, 3 years ago. He's been playing injured.
I said that for 1 year.
You got to stick up for the guy.
I said that for 1 year. You're kind of falling under, in my opinion, and I make fun of Paul for this, the year five jump, that these guys are suddenly in the middle of their career going to have this catapult towards greatness. And I just tend to think great players are great from the beginning. I think Rob Gronkowski, I thought coming in, he was a great player, and he's showing a great
was great from the beginning. He's having a rough year, and probably playing through injuries.
So should we should, wait a minute. Hold on a second. George. Week. Should we go out and give Devin McCourty a $50 million contract now?
Well, no, not give him 2 more years.
Okay, well, then you might lose him. This is what I'm saying. I mean, obviously, you're not at the same stage you are with Mayo in terms of only 1 year left on the contract, but I think you know what Mayo is at this point,
well,
and it's not the next Ray Lewis. You know, 2 years ago, maybe we all thought when he was defensive rookie of the year that he might be the next Ray Lewis. I didn't personally. I thought he made a lot of tackles, and that was about it.
In practice, to say, let's give this guy $50 million.
I understand that, but I am not one of these Patriot fans that just takes everything Bill Belichick does as the gospel. I don't think that he does everything right, especially with personnel.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, some of the DBs they've picked up from the draft over the last few years. They get undersized guys that are injured through high school, then college. I mean, prime example, their draft pick this year, he looked good when he was playing, never playing.
Yeah, but that's a totally different thing. In my opinion, one of their weaknesses is they've re-signed a lot of their own players for way too much money.
And they've let some of the other ones
Nick
go.
Nick Kazier, James Sanders, Tully Banta Kane. I think they give these guys money they don't deserve.
Well, that's the best they have that's familiar with the system.
Yeah, you overpay them?
I would have rather have given $60 million to Asante Samuel a few years ago than $50 million to Gerard Mayo. Let's put it that way.
You know, I mean, if this team had the DBs that the Eagles do, the sky's the limit.
Well,
now the offense really has to cover for the defense.
No question that this defense is the albatross of the team.
That's where you saw the blow up on the sideline last week. Is because we need to score every time we have the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do say, George.
Brady's time, it's limited. So he knows, hey, you know, we're playing one side of the ball. If they can have a couple of stops in a game, we can win. But now the offense almost has to be perfect. And that's where the stress is with the team. And I'm sure you have other callers.
All right, George. Well done. I like callers that cut themselves off.
I do say, George, and if you're still listening, just that I just want to stress that neither one of us is anti-Mayo. I think Gerard Mayo is a good, solid football player. I'm just not sure he's worth that much money. And we said it right at the top of the show. I don't think the gap is all that big into what we think that he is worth. So,
well, then I get into trouble because it's a lot of money that I think some of these linebackers that I don't think are all that good make.
Right.
And that's market value. So he is going to be worth that. It gets back to the old days. You know, Deion Branch, when he left, I didn't think he was a number one receiver, but did he get money that was market value from Seattle? Or did he get grossly overpaid? Probably grossly overpaid in terms of what he was, but on market value, probably not grossly overpaid.
Right.
Santonio Holmes, I think, is grossly overpaid. But if he's getting market value, then I'm wrong. Right? I've criticized Bill for that over the years. You don't get to decide market value. The market sets the value. So I'm kind of contradicting my own argument. I just would vomit in my own hand if I had to sign Gerard Mayo $50 million. Because to me, that just seems like the kind of money, almost $10 million a year, you should get game-changing plays out of. Every time I click on like SportsCenter on a Sunday night, he should be popping up, changing balls in his hands. He's hitting people. All I see him do is make regular tackles. Not even big hit tackles, just regular tackles.
Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with our buddy John in L.A., not to be confused with Johnny in L.A.
No, very different.
Yeah, I'm first want to say what an honor it is to be the next caller right after Gerard Mayo's dad.
No, his dad's actually on the sideline in Denver, so that must have been his uncle.
Not agreeing with George, are you?
Well, no, I'm just kidding. And George is a very good caller. I'm not in favor of giving him all that money, but there are worse guys I could give that money to, so whatever.
That's a very laissez-faire, just relax. I mean, there's worse guys. I could have given it to Ocho Cinco. I mean...
Exactly. I just wanted to call in because I just finished listening to Thursday's PFW in Progress, and it got me to thinking why people don't like Eric. And I like Eric, but here's why people don't like Eric. When I write a script and I have to put the subtext of somebody in parentheses right before the line, it reminds me of what Eric did. Because when Eric made his bet, when he made his pick, picking the Broncos, his parenthetical was F you. That's why people don't like Eric.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons they don't like Eric. Pretty much everything else he does.
Hold on now.
The other reason. Anyone who's ever met him. You know how they say anyone who ever has met Tim Tebow is better off for it? Anyone who's ever met Eric is worse off for it. He's a douche.
Having said that, I am nervous about this game. I sort of feel like you guys are probably right that we will control the game, but there's just that weird feeling, not necessarily even because of everything going on with Tebow, but just it feels like one of those games that you're going to be dying watching at the end, like with the Jets beating us in the playoffs last year. Just one of those games that would be not fun to lose.
Now, is that you kind of removing Tebow from the equation? Is that just Patriots at Denver fears from the old days, or?
No, I mean, I'm not. I guess I shouldn't remove the Tebow thing. It's more the Tebow mania than the Tebow. It's just one of those big games.
And God's on his side, so.
Well,
right.
I mean, I
have you seen the SNL skit, by the way, as a writer?
I saw part of it.
It is phenomenal. It is absolutely well written. One of the better things I've seen them do in a long time.
Well, that's not hard to do, but.
Why you got to have TV on TV shot?
Terrible. It's awful. I mean, I watch it, and I hear that was a good skit. I saw a few bits of it. It looked funny.
Would they say
something about Belichick being from hell?
Yeah, the devil. Jesus gave him devil horn. He made this weird noise.
Fair enough.
You would take a job with Saturday Night Live if they offered it?
In a heartbeat.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Making sure.
I just don't think they're... I think they have really good cast, actually, the last few years, and they're wasting it.
Oh, okay. All right.
The news is good.
I don't watch it enough, but, you know, thanks, John. I would say that if you're going to really be concerned about this game, I don't think you can help but have the external factors be the reason why you're so concerned. I think
because the internal factors bring concern.
Exactly. I think anything tangible that you watch, you can't possibly be overly concerned about, with the possible exception of the Patriots' pass defense. Now, you can easily say Tim Tebow can't throw the football. They don't have the capabilities of moving the ball through the air. Now, if you're Denver, you can sit there and say, yeah, but we'd never faced a defense this bad in defending the pass. So we're going to be able to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only tangible football factor to me that is of any concern today. The Patriots' offense, to me, is far superior than the Denver defense. They should be able to reasonably move the football and score points throughout. Denver, at its best, has not been able to get over 18 points. I think they've been over 18 twice in the last 10 weeks, something along those lines.
But they haven't played the Patriots.
So even if they're able to move the ball a little bit more effectively than they normally do, I'm not sure it's going to be enough.
You don't fear the pass rushers?
No, to be honest with you, because I think that they faced a lot of edge rushers who have been somewhat neutralized. I worry much more about the inside guys that can get into the pocket and cause Tom Brady not to be able to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been times this season where Brady has been affected by the rush, contrary to what you hear in the analysis around here. But I don't think that you can just get there from the outside. Now, if Denver can supplement that from the inside and get some other guys involved, I don't know, Robert Ayers, you know, some other guys involved in the collapsing of the pocket, then, yeah, Andy, I would be a little bit concerned because I think Dumervil is a really good player, and Von Miller is obviously having a terrific rookie season. So I do think those players are good. I just think that in addition to the Matt Lights of the world having really, really solid seasons, as you wrote about in this week's PFW, I also think that Tom Brady eats those guys for lunch in that he lets them go right behind him, and he just steps right in front, and they're non-factors. Do you agree?
Breaking news off the Twitter
feed.
Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I listened to the question. Nick Mangold, who I kind of even almost forgot about, is the final inactive with Ryan Mallett.
Okay.
Joining Chung, Spikes, Brandt.
Okay, we're gonna repeat that.
We got Nick McDonald?
I mean, Nick McDonald.
Okay.
I always do that. He wouldn't be inactive if we had Nick Mangold.
I was wondering how he possibly made breaking news.
You knew what I meant. I always say Mangold instead of McDonald.
Well, after I didn't have any idea what you said until you said, is the final inactive? Then I knew exactly what you meant.
Paul and I looked at each other real
when you said
there.
Nick Mangold, I was was involved in a car crash on the way to the stadium? I mean, what?
Always say Nick Mangold instead of Nick McDonald.
Yeah, but when you said that he was the final inactive, then I knew exactly what you were talking about.
I forgot all about him when I was going Donald Thomas. I forgot he was even part of the mix.
Yeah, I suppose. If you have Conley and Wendell both healthy, then you don't need another center. So that makes sense. That makes sense.
How many practice squad centers do you need on the roster on one day?
We dropped the ball on that one. Tom was wondering why Kevin never read his MP3 that he sent in.
Because Kevin's a douche.
During the course of the week. And if you guys want to talk to you about Taylor Price, Andy, one says, Matt says, was not bad. Kyle adding that he is a 2 catches for 39 yards.
A little
might not sound like that much, but actually,
he had a second catch?
Actually, their leading receiver.
I didn't know he had a second catch.
I didn't watch the game, so I can't comment.
I was watching it at Comcast, and then maybe when I went on the air or something. But
he ran a deep in route.
I thought both arguments for Taylor Price were vindicated a little bit. He ran some wrong routes, and he made some plays and looked athletic. So we'll see. But my guess is he's going to get better. That would be my guess, because I think
the price is wrong, bitch.
I think he works relatively hard. His biggest issue, wow, touchdown.
Is that Brandon Marshall?
I think so.
He had a bad drop in the end zone earlier in the game.
I think he's going to get better. His issue is Gabbert. I think Gabbert's going down the David Carr road of either just sucks or is going to get so beat up that he's going to suck and never be able to come out of it. He's a scary guy, and they don't protect him, and he gets beat up. And so if you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to be a receiver. Ironically, it was hard to be a receiver when he had a quarterback. So.
We got some predictions coming in, too. Pete in Hampshire, England, wants to know if you flunked any school classes. Apparently, you didn't teach zoology or anatomy at school. People don't breathe underwater, Andy.
That was my point.
If you do, we can put you into some remakes of 70s Japanese horror movies immediately. Pats 21, Broncos 20.
Wow.
I am going to say this.
Wow.
I find it impossible to believe that the Patriots will win a game like that. If it's that kind of a score.
Tebow wins.
I'll be very scared if it's that kind of score. I think the Patriots are going to get up early in this game. I know you said the same thing. I heard you on the pregame show on the Sports Hub. I know we're in lockstep on this one, too. I think the Patriots could have a 17-0 lead by the end of the first quarter. And all of this sort of hysteria is gone.
Any fear of Tebow coming out and throwing the ball and having success?
What kind of success? Like, points? No.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Completions,
you know, couple
yes.
drives.
Completions,
decent
yes.
Decent completions.
I think he could throw
a touchdown.
I'll say this. I think he could throw for 300 yards today, and that's why I instructed Matt to put a poll, and I'm not sure if that one's up yet. If we have any results for the current poll, Matt, and you have another one coming, we'll go to that in just a minute. But I encourage Matt to put up a Tebow yardage poll. I think he could throw for 300 yards today.
He's been over 200 twice.
I just don't think it's going to lead to 25-plus points. That's
he's
all.
Been over 200 twice. Patriots have been under 250 once all year in quarterback yards allowed. I think there's a chance he could do that. I think that's their only chance to win, is that you go, oh, my God, even Tebow throws against your defense. I think that's the only way they win this football game, and that's my only concern. You know, and maybe he watched SNL because Jesus told him, you know, pregame, warm up a little, get the shoulder loose. Maybe that's why he's out there. Zolak was talking about it on the 98.5 pregame show.
That part, he goes, I got to, you know, stretch, you know, warm up a little bit, but get into your playbook.
Even the guh face that the Tebow actor made when he goes, the Bible is my playbook or something. Yeah. Like, he makes this stupid smirk.
I just like the way Jason Sudeikis kind of rolls his eyes at that.
Who's Jason Sudeikis? Jesus?
Jesus, yeah. He, you know, it's like everything that Tebow said, he was like, yeah, all right, kid, go, you know, back off a little bit.
That's why my favorite line was when he goes, you should be thanking your kicker. Guy hit 50. I prayed a Prater. And Prater goes, really? I didn't know that. And Jesus goes, that's because I don't stick it in people's faces.
Yeah, I don't throw it in people's faces.
All right, what do you got, poll man?
All right, well, it's actually closer than I thought it would be.
It should be.
And a little surprising. Chad Ochocinco led the way with 41%. Then Julian Edelman with 36%.
Who's next?
And then Tyquan Underwood at 17.
That's what it should be. That's the right answer. It should be close. I think they're all going to get chances. They're all going to make plays, and they're all going to suck.
Matthew Slater getting 8%, though. I thought he would get zero.
He shouldn't.
Yeah, he's probably not going to play any offense.
Especially with Chung still out. Had Chung been healthy, maybe Slater would have gotten some play on offense. But, I mean, are we really going to play him three ways?
I didn't expect people to vote for Edelman, though. How much offense has he played in the past few weeks?
Yeah, not a ton, but he's going to fill in. And I think people realize now, like, oh, he doesn't just need to fill in for Welker. You know, he can fill in for other guys. Obviously, Branch is not the biggest guy. He's not, you know, he's an outside receiver, but he's not really an outside receiver. That's why I think you're going to see that poll play itself out. I think you'll see different personnel groups, and they'll all have their chances. And then if one really sucks and or does really well, that'll sway it.
They'll have their chances, and they'll all have their drops.
Probably, and they'll all have the chance to get yelled at by Brady on the sideline. And then Bill O'Brien will come in and punch him in the face. And all hell will break loose. We got a slobber knocker.
Steve Mariucci evidently doesn't expect the Broncos to win. He said this morning whatever the NFL was it game day morning, if he beats Tom Brady and the Patriots, this phenomenon, this Tebowing, is already worldwide. It's going to Mars. So evidently he doesn't think it's going to happen either.
That's the only thing I like about the whole Tebow situation is Tebowing. I think that's really cool. All these photos of guys on like the pagodas in China, whatever they are.
Did you hear about the kids in Long Island?
Yeah, they got in trouble.
They got suspended from school.
For what?
Tebowing in the hallway.
40 of them. It was an organized Tebow.
That's stupid.
The teacher said get out of the hallway because of the fire hazard. These kids.
Oh, okay. So they didn't listen. Oh, okay. Never
mind. For all you know, they said F you.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I thought it was just for Tebow, and they did it because they were told to stop and go. That's what they got in trouble for. So I have no problem with that. That's just another example of society today, Andy.
Society.
The lack of respect. The lack of respect. You know, if someone tells you, if you're in school and a teacher or a principal or someone tells you to do, an authority figure tells you to do something, you do it. I don't understand.
That's right.
That.
It's how it used to be in the old days. It's not how it is anymore.
All right. Before we go to our next break, I want to read Tim in Pensacola, Andy's buddy.
Oh, boy. Is this a poem that doesn't rhyme?
Yes. It's a poem. I don't know if it rhymes yet. I haven't read it.
Tim wrote it. It doesn't.
Fred, you honor me with your presence wherever you are. I am going to a gathering of Pats fans to watch the game. Thus, I am not able to call in. My apologies to all my fans, however.
Thank you.
Both of them. I leave you with a wonderful gift. This is the poem I have created especially for this game. Happy holidays to everyone, except that douche Tim from Kansas, dumb guy with dog, and Andy Hart. I wish those three a miserable holiday. I hope Santa brings you all coal. And here's his poem. The Patriots' chances of victory look weak, for it is Tim Tebow this week we will meet. On one side is the force of everything good and right. On the other, us Pats fans fight with all our might.
Nice.
Hey, might, right. I see what you did there.
But I'm not sure they were the proper syllables.
Tough, the battle between Brady and Tebow should be epic. Even stronger is the Pats fans bonds that should be
Lepic? I'd never seen before in my life.
I told you, he made up words.
Eric? Anyone? Lepic? L-E-P-P-E-K. Matt in Brooklyn is on line two, telling us what that means.
If that's a word, I'm using it in Words with Friends. Lepic.
Although I predicted a Patriots losing, I would gladly take an ego bruising. That's tough.
It rhymes.
Yes,
I'll give him the rhyme.
It does. Doesn't make any sense. I would not be at a loss if it was victory we can across. Maybe meant to say we came across. I know Andy would still prefer the roster to be rewritten to take out Gronk and to insert Witten.
Dumbest thing you've ever written.
But that's not going to happen. Yes, you heard me right. We should all stick together as Pats fans and win this fight.
I'll win the fight, and it's me and you.
That's Tim in Pensacola.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Ooh,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time. Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball. Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Welcome back to the JetBlue Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Paul and Andy from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Second half of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social inside Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart chuckling through the break. What's up?
I can't read it on the air.
Oh, okay. Those are always my favorites.
But Joe Reuter on Twitter made me laugh out loud.
All right. Normally around this time, we go to the visiting stadium, wherever we are, to talk to the visiting team. We had a good, solid interview set up with Mike Kliss of the Denver Post. Unfortunately, Mike has some of the things that have come up.
Apparently, it's not Kliss.
And he had to cancel on us. So, as I said, normally we like to get some of the opponent's perspective at around this time of the show. We're not going to be able to do that this week. But I think, Andy,
I suggested we have Fred call in for the Broncos' perspective.
Right, because no one knows the Broncos better than
I mean,
Fred.
We can go back 3 decades with his rooting.
Do you think he has a Mecklenburg shirt on right now?
Under his jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, under his suit.
Yeah.
His gray suit that he's worn for 3 days in a row.
When he comes running in and he has to go to the bathroom immediately and he throws his bag and all of a sudden he has the Mecklenburg on underneath.
He might.
Well, I think with Tim Tebow, such a polarizing guy in this game, you know.
For the record, Dawkins is out.
Dawkins is out, as we all expected. I did notice on ESPN that it was a split, I believe. I think it was 3 Broncos and 2 Patriots. I think it was TJ, Boomer, and Ditka took the Broncos, I believe. And Key and CeCe took the Patriots. I'm not sure on Ditka, though.
Which is shocking after last week when Keyshawn and Chris Carter just destroyed the Patriots.
Well,
but they realize they're facing a quarterback that can't throw.
Exactly.
That's irrelevant this week. You know, they'd be sulking if they were in Denver. You know, as much as they were laughing, we'll go out there and beat Edelman and Slater. Well, if they were in Denver, they'd be sulking because they don't have a guy who can get them the football. You don't think they want to go 0-3 and out 7 times a game, do you?
Could you imagine those egos
God.
In Denver right now?
Good Lord.
Hey, Scott is in Leeds, England, and he says he was going to get mic'd up and give you this in audio form, but it was his granddad's funeral this week. We get in touch with a lot of family funerals that, you know, it doesn't speak very highly of us.
We get through people through the tough times.
Well, I hope so. I hope we do try, even though when they annoy us with, you know, long contract extensions for guys that we don't necessarily think deserve them. So I've been busy traveling cross-country and such. Nevertheless, I wrote you a rap because you're all wrong. You're all young, cool, happening kind of guys. I am neither young nor cool. Just as he says, who am I kidding?
I'm young
anyway,
and cool.
Anyway, the poetry last week inspired me, and I love to hear Andy rant. So here's what I've got. If Kevin wants to read it out, he can. I feel he's undervalued and wish his brave little soul to have a bigger say in the web radio productions that you guys send out. All right. I don't know if I can read
all. Oh, just
all.
Read it fast.
I don't know if I can read all this, but I'll try. As you can see, we're
10-3.
We survived the Redskins and now face the glorious Tebow for 11 and emerge victorious. We got 12 and Gronk and the Notorious, quick little Wes Welks and a Furious, Belichick sick of his defense getting rejected, Mayo and Chung want to be respected, strap on your helmet, son, here come Brady working from the gun, Timmy's a baller, but Tommy's having fun. Number 4, up at Mile High, there'll be silence done, what's Tebow going to do when he can't run? Should I continue?
Sure.
Okay. I didn't know how bad this sounds.
This is radio gold.
This will not be replayed for any purposes whatsoever.
Without the express written consent of Paul,
Paul Perillo. Here come the Brady Bunch. I got a hunch. This porous defense gonna lunch. Carter's tummy are rumbling, and he's gonna munch on Willis and Timmy Kirk Crunch.
That was good.
Von Miller's a beast, but the only feast will be on the Pat's D gonna getting to eat. Looking at Broncos like some fresh meat. Boom. Here comes Ninko bringing the heat.
Boom. Shake the room.
But just one thing, and here's the caveat. Ooh, wow, an Eric word in the middle of this. Timmy, he's good at asking for a miracle, climbing fourth quarter mountain and playing at the pinnacle. He's got help, and some say it's biblical. Me, I find that BS quizzical, satirical.
This is way better than Timberland.
That someone invisible is saving their season. for little to no reason. They're winning their region. Guess I just couldn't heathen, cause guess I'm just a heathen, cause I'm committing treason. Timo couldn't even beat up the Garden of Eden. This is awesome. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this
drunk.
Is very
finish
good.
Drunk.
I'm trying. Elway gonna be pissed when he hears how I dissed his prodigal son, his man on the run. When he drops back to pass and isn't on his ass, there'll be drops of plenty from Deck and Tomass. We're just too strong for him and come along. Can't win games from third and long. Sorry, Tim. It just ain't achievable, conceivable. If you want something a little more believable after hearing those snores, cause your offense bores. And after seeing how Brady pours out those scores, you'll need a little something that restores your faith in the world after how this game unfurled. So sit back, Tim, and watch Star Wars. So there you have it.
Mad. That's amazing.
Tim, just a little just bit got... of fun. Hope it got a laugh or two. And Pats, Jets suck, and Tebow's a jag.
What are those called? In 8 Mile, where they... He just got killed in one of those rap battles. Tim just got killed.
Oh, God, that's a blowout right there.
Who was that again?
That was Scott in Leeds, England.
Scott wins this
week. Very, very well done. Right
by
there.
Far.
Very well done right there. I'm sorry I didn't do it justice because I'm not a rapper.
Paul's going to be all in the rap game now. He's going to have record producers calling him as soon as the show's over.
I don't think so.
I don't appreciate your tone.
What? He was giving you a compliment.
He used to be my favorite producer. Not anymore.
This PPGS rap is epic. PFW Paul rapping is classic. MC Paul Perizzle rocking the mic.
They call me P-Sizzle instead of T-Sizzle.
They call you terrible.
Shut up. Asshat.
You want us to give you another chance?
No.
You
can actually, no.
You can study it and then on Tuesday bring it to PFW.
Well,
Progress.
If I were going to do that and try to do it serious,
you
I would
to
need...
lay down a bed?
Oh, absolutely. I need some...
Yo, he needs some beats in here.
I need some beats. I need all kinds of stuff.
Up in this piece, as Eric would say.
Oh.
Do
you
really
loser.
Want that to happen?
No.
No. Did you hear when 98.5 did that? They had a rap battle?
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was painful. I thought there were a couple of funny lines here and there, but I thought overall it was painful listening to those guys try to be hip.
It's like us.
Tyler from Georgia, with the holidays upon us and with the stress of playing in the T-Bowl today, I thought I would send some season greetings, PFW style, to help you guys relax. And he sends a little jib-jab thing, which I'm kind of afraid to...
I don't know what happened.
To then. Open. Huh?
What jib-jab?
It's one of those little cartoons.
Oh.
But I'm afraid that it might be, racy.
How are you going to play it on the air anyway?
Well, I think people could hear it. No?
From where?
Should I just... over the microphone. Should I stop?
Do you even have speakers?
Oh, this won't play on this? Oh,
I have no idea.
I just assumed it would play. All right. Well, I'm getting a no from... I'm sorry about that, Tyler.
Either way, it would just be music.
I thought it was 2011. I just thought computers had speakers. It's silly me.
Yeah, but you were just going to hold it up to it?
No, I just figured it would play and you could hear it.
On the radio?
And if there's no speakers, obviously it wouldn't play.
I think it would sound anyways.
What does that mean?
It's going to be... It's a little animation thing. And you take pictures of people. So I'm assuming he took pictures of, like, all of you guys, all your headshots. And it goes on elves that are breakdancing.
Oh, nice. I'm smooth.
They're pretty funny to look at, but I mean, nothing to hear, really.
In case you're worried about the game coming down to a field goal, Matt Prater hit from 70 in his pregame warm-ups. So he's ready to go about 11 yards farther than he did last week.
Colts in position to pick up a W. 17-6 with about a minute left in the third quarter.
Upsets abound. I don't want to, make Patriots fans feel any more uneasy than they already do, but upsets, although not the Packers anymore, but upsets still a potential across the league.
Bill is in Carlsbad, and he says, since you guys only read emails with poetry now, I thought I'd send mine in with a little something-something.
Oh, boy. I'm not sure I like where
Romeo, this is going. Romeo, oh, Romeo, please, oh, please, stop the Pack's perfection. Deny them points and let them feel some dejection.
Not bad.
Or if thou will not... Send Ali on a blitz to break Aaron's leg, and I'll no longer wait every week for the Pack to lay their egg. In other news, the ball will drop on Tebow time today. Brady will throw 5 TDs and 700 yards. Go Pats.
How about 700? He might throw the 5 TDs, though.
Is that a little silly, Andy? 700 yards?
What are we going to get from the ground game today? I saw some tweets online, people speculating that the return of Dan Conley could improve the interior blocking. Maybe that'll help the ground game.
I've heard it all now. The return of Dan Conley is going to get the ground game back into
I'm just saying. I've read it online. I don't know who tweeted it. I didn't remember, but that's one of the discussion points online, and I'm supposed to keep you in tune with Twitter.
You are, and I'm
so big
to...
day from Benny. $1.60, $1.70.
Oh God, no. Wow, I'm getting a zero sign from
zero from the ground game today.
Literally 0 yards.
Not literally zero, oh. But your typical four different guys have
for 47 yards,
six carries for 30 yards apiece. Like as a team, they do well, but and, like one person, you're not going to see a ton of production.
And you have the SNL skit ready.
I do.
Oh, nice.
All right, can we play that? Well, will that go up? You know, will that be able to be played? I don't want to offend anybody with any crude audio.
I think it's fine to play.
All right.
So here we go.
I don't hear anything.
Another miracle win for the Denver Broncos, who beat the Chicago Bears by 3 in overtime. The Broncos have now won 6 in a row behind quarterback Tim Tebow.
All right. Hey, guys, I want to thank you all for believing in me. I know it started off a little shaky out there, but we pulled it out because we stuck together. Yeah. And also, I got to thank the most important person in my life, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I could not do this without him. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, Jesus, he has risen.
Well, no, not really. Just a quick visit. So, hey, everybody, take a seat. Go ahead, take a seat. Chill out.
First of all,
you're welcome. All right? Yes, I, Jesus Christ, am indeed the reason you've won your past 6 football games. Okay?
I knew it!
Oh, Tim, easy. Hey, buddy, leave a little room for the Holy Ghost, okay? All right? Here's the thing, okay? If we're going to keep doing this, you guys got to meet me halfway out there. I mean, let's face it. It's not a good week if every week I, the Son of God, have to come in, drop everything, and bail out the Denver Broncos in the fourth quarter, okay? I'm a busy guy.
So, wait, you're only helping in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Have you watched the game film, Tim, of the first half? I mean, come on, 3 for 16? You know, I can throw better. I'm 2010 years old, huh?
I pray to you before every game.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, and I appreciate that. But here's something else you should do before the game, okay? Yeah. Stretch. You know, get the arm warm, you know, read the playbook, all right? Do you read that?
The Holy Bible is my playbook.
Oh, okay, great. That's great. But you need to read the regular playbook, okay? Seriously, I'm doing all the work here.
Oh, come on, don't be so hard on Tim. He's helping us win.
Oh, that's cute. No, Tim's doing his best, Dad bless him. But you know who you should be thanking? Your kicker, okay? I mean, you don't win unless this guy hits a 59-yarder. I'm serious, man. Matt Prater, I pray to you, brother.
Wow. You pray to me? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, you know, that's because I'm not in everyone's face about it.
So Jesus just spends his time helping people win football games?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I just go where people call me the most. You know, nowadays, that's a lot of football games. Also, the Country Music Awards. You know, I design all those. I'm right there at any black event where food is served.
Hey, man.
I'm sorry. I'm forgiven. All right. You see, the point is, you guys got to help yourselves a little. I mean, can you do that for me?
Yes.
All right, now listen, I can't be around next week. I got a big birthday coming up, and kind of tough to shop for. I mean, what do you get for the man who sacrificed everything, right? Easy, don't need that. It's a medium joke at best. I don't need that. All right, come on. But here's my advice, all right? Just focus up, all right? And you'll be fine. All right, who you play next?
The Patriots.
Oh, boy, really? Wow, okay. Did not know that. That's going to be a tough one. I mean, hey, this doesn't leave this room, okay? But if I'm the Son of God, Tom Brady's got to be the guy's nephew, all right? That guy's a miracle worker, okay? Oh, but that Coach Belichick? Well, let's just say... So they're coming at you both ways there, all right? So, anywho, I'm off to a beauty pageant, okay? Best of luck next week. I'll try to watch. Tim? I love you, okay? I really love you, too. Okay, all right. But just take it down a notch, will you, buddy?
Yes, Lord. Whatever you command.
Okay, but not a command, just a request, all right? I gotta catch this cloud, okay? I'll see you all. Oh, by the way, Mormonism. All true. Every single word. Yeah. All right, peace.
See you guys.
So that obviously was the Saturday Night Live skit that ran last night and had Andy in stitches. You were a big fan.
I was. And I think it loses a little something audio-wise when you don't see the faces.
Well, you can't see some of the facial expressions.
But
and
still funny. Still well-written. And for the Jesus put little horns on his head when he made the weird Bill Belichick noise for the devil.
Yeah. So I
just want to clarify something real quick off Twitter. Yeah. Earlier, somebody had tweeted that he had hit he was kicking from 70. Apparently, according to Mike Reese, 64 is what Prater was kicking from, or 65. Okay. And Eric said Gostkowski was at 64 kicking. He had one hit the upright, I think. Eric said one was good. So they're both hitting mid-60-ish field goals.
And I did throw the challenge out to Gostkowski in the locker room this week. As he walked by me, I said, I'm expecting a record. And he said, no problem. I said, 65? And he said, yep. I said, one of those at the end of the half, you can just let it fly. And he said, yeah, I can do it. I'll do it.
Yeah, the kind that gets blocked.
Well,
I'm saying.
I don't know why you have to have it blocked. When was the last time Gostkowski had a field goal blocked?
When was the last time he tried a 65-yarder?
I don't know.
Touche. Got to have a lower trajectory to get it there. You can't get it up as much.
Yeah.
Never up, never in.
A lot of Devin McCourty talk, and I'm not exactly sure where this came from, but hoping for the game, one interception by McCourty or young DMC, in keeping with our rap theme today.
Maybe if Andre Carter can stay off the quarterback's knees.
It was good that he seemed to make a few plays at the end of the game last week. He was playing slightly better at the end, and I hope he is able to build some confidence heading into the playoffs. I just wanted to hear your thoughts. Kyle also wanted to talk about McCourty. He thinks... is now the time to extend McCourty's contract? I understand that he's playing horribly, but it makes it the opportune time to take advantage of it and get a favorable contract over several years. In the stock market, you want to buy low and sell high. Why not sign McCourty when he's playing poorly for a low sum and save some money in case he returns to form and demands dramatically more money? What do you think of that?
I would consider it if he's willing to take a real low money extension now for the security. I don't think he's technically allowed just yet. I believe he has to wait till the end of this year.
I believe you are correct.
Or at some point he could. But the greater
point
is...
It's a five-year deal, right? And it would only be 2 years in. So I believe you are accurate.
I am...
I'm not positive.
I'm not overly excited. You're going to risk something. Now, he may come back next year and be the same guy as last year and say, well, if I had extended him in between the seasons, but... Why are we? What's the need? What's
there's no.
The
yeah. Well, I think that's because I brought up the thing about McCourty. I think it was to George earlier who called in and was saying how what we thought of Mayo a couple of years ago, and I made the comment. Well, what did you think of McCourty last year? I mean, certainly you. And again, the same person that Andy and I talked to about contracts mentioned that McCourty came up quite a bit in the offseason in terms of that kind of stuff. So. These are things the team thinks about well in advance. Now,
obviously.
they don't act on it right away, but these are decisions that need to be made well before they're actually consummated.
Well, why? I mean, I know the idea is to save money, and he's probably not as bad as he played this year,
not.
But what if he is?
Well, that's why
and you give him a four-year extension.
I wouldn't necessarily be looking to do
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, he's locked up through 2017 or 2018.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't necessarily
be looking
to do it.
Well, when I cut him in 2013, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's a serious crossroads season coming for him next year where people are going to try to find out what he is. Why did I just see a tight end for the Giants flying through the air sideways?
Bear Pascoe.
What was he doing?
It looked like he was trying to do the Jermaine Wiggins jump over someone and a guy caught his ankle.
Why are blocking tight ends out of Fresno trying to...
I don't know. Johnny in L.A. wants to know if Tebow Mania makes the Packers' pursuit of perfection easier since it takes the spotlight off of them. I think this week it did. Don't you?
Maybe a little.
I think there's been a lot of people talking about.
I think what took the spotlight off him was the Patriots going 16-0. I think there'll be a great spotlight on them in the playoffs as they try to go 19-0. But, I mean, they're trying to break a record that was just established a couple years ago. I think that lessens the focus on it.
I know what your point is, but I still think there'd be more people, I thought there was a lot more attention, say, on Indianapolis in 2009 than there has been on Green Bay this year.
Maybe.
And they made it one game further. It was 14-0 before
right.
that, you know. I agree with your point. It's not as big as it would have been. I mean, you're never going to get as big as you did the Patriots because that was the first. And the only way you can match that is by getting to...
Another first.
18 and be to the Super Bowl. And then obviously that's the whole storyline for two
the
weeks.
Crowning achievement.
Ben in Connecticut.
Benny!
Who I like because it's continuing our little listener-on-listener stuff. Since this has turned into the pregame poetry slam, I decided to email in and give it a try. You could say that Tim inspired me. There once was a man named Tim in Pensacola. His calls make me feel like I have Ebola. My eyes are moved to tears. My brain bleeds out my ears. My God, his poems are truly crapola. Tim, please keep calling so we can mock you. Thanks. None other than the world's most interesting Patriots fan also wants to get into the act. Yo, James. Boy. There once was a tight end called Rob who was evidently good at his job. He caught TDs from Tom, spiked footballs with aplomb, whilst porn stars polished his knob.
That was well done. Tim, you should take a lesson. It was short, it rhymed, and it was funny and good.
Had the measure there.
Everything. Know. Iambic pentameter?
I don't know.
No idea.
That was a limerick.
Oh, Mr. English.
That was a limerick.
Professor in here.
Ready to be educated?
No, I don't need you to educate me.
Go ahead.
Me.
Why don't you educate us?
Iambic pentameter. 10 syllables in each line. Stressed, unstressed, stressed, unstressed. 12 lines.
That all you got?
Da, 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 da. That kind of thing. I don't know why that just popped into my head.
Let's see. Who's this?
I don't know. You're the one reading the email.
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Paul P. Dog Perillo.
Never written before. Oh, wait a minute. This is not. This is the West Coast Chris with a A-T-I-A-N. Not exactly sure what that makes his name.
Chris Italian?
Chris. I think he put an A in there where it didn't belong. Never written before. Listen forever. That was awesome.
Asian?
I think he's making fun of me. But that's okay.
Doesn't matter.
You know why?
You elicit.
For the greater good of the show,
yeah.
I am okay with being made fun of.
It's about
for this.
Discussion. It's about back and forth. We make fun of listeners. They can make fun of us. I'm fine with that.
But with this game, specifically with Tebow, is there anything that you can even point to other than the stuff that we've, you know, the obvious that we've talked about with Tebow's inability to throw? Why, you know, does it make any sense that he goes 3-for-18 and then goes 18-for-24?
Well, I know a lot of people try to.
And he had a lot of drops last week.
Defense,
I know that.
And, you know, teams aren't treating him the same way. I don't think that's it. I think it's him. I think he's better in the fourth quarter.
But
I don't know why.
Wow. So we don't know why.
I think it's mental. I mean, I think it's an aspect of his character, his makeup, whatever you want to call it. I think there is something to that. There's guys that get better at crunch time. I don't know why that is for him in particular, but I think that's possibility. Some of it's luck. Some of it's situational. Some of it's having to. You know, he knows early
wants,
in the game.
Is it about want
not,
or
no, because I think he wants to be good.
Of course he does.
I think he's wanted to be able to throw the ball like a normal human being his whole life. He just can't. Oh, that's another issue. A lot of tweets earlier. All these comparisons to Tom Brady is so freaking ridiculous that I don't even understand it. And I guess Tom Curran is
Tom Curran on QuickSlants this week said, we've seen this all before, Brady in 2001,
really?
Where he lifted everybody. You know, that was,
oh,
it was
so
a bad.
Just,
it was a bad team, and he came in, and not only he gave them stability on offense, but he made everybody else play better. I would disagree with that characterization because I think, and I've said it to you many times about this, I think the Patriots in 2001 were an up and coming team. I think that they were better. They were considered to be the worst team in the league. If you remember, they had the bye week scheduled for the last week of the season. Everybody said that means that the NFL thinks they're the worst team. I don't think they were going to be that. Now, they were not going to be 11-5 and go to the Super Bowl if Brady didn't go in there. I'm not saying that. But I think that they probably should have won opening day in Cincinnati. And I think the Jets game was sort of a weird game with the whole situation with 9/11 and all that. And it was a 10-3 game. It could have gone either way. But I think that they would have been a better team than people thought, regardless. And then Brady came in and played great. He played better than Bledsoe. Fact, not opinion, as our buddy Felger says. But where I do think there's some similarities, and maybe you disagree with this, Andy, with what Curran said, is I do think that Brady's impact was felt more on than just in the passing game, or more in just the offense.
Oh, God, yeah, that's the only place I agree.
I think his leadership and his enthusiasm, I think it did rub off on
people. I just think
people.
Comparing them physically and on the football field is utterly disrespectful to Tom Brady.
But he didn't throw the ball much better than Tebow's been throwing it this year in 2001. He was a totally different kind of player. He completed a high percentage of his passes, yes.
Right. I don't think Tim Tebow can throw short passes.
But not for any more yards.
No, because all Tebow does is throw three times a game and throw it down the field. It's a long pass. I think Tom Brady ran an offense. That's what I think is different. You can call it dink and dunk, but he hit his dinks and he hit his dunks. I think there's a skill to that. I don't think Tim Tebow can do that. That's where I think it's utterly disrespectful to Tom Brady.
I think it's hard to really analyze without knowing what happened to Brady. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what Brady became. And it's hard to go back and remember what you thought about it.
I'm just not sure.
There were a lot of people that weren't convinced that Brady could be much more than that at the time. Oh, he can be safe. He can dink and dunk, and he can do this, and you can succeed because you have a good defense and running game to augment him.
Yeah,
a lot of the same stuff that people are saying about Tebow.
Well, I don't say that. I don't think Tebow can throw the football. I think it's a fatal flaw. I think Tom Brady could throw the football.
Well, again,
I'm not saying he's good as he is
now. In 2001, I'm not sure that a lot of people would have agreed with you.
I mean, I thought he looked like a prototypical thrower. He could throw. Doesn't have a cannon.
I've always said that Tom Brady's skills were drastically undersold to all of us coming out of college.
Yeah, that whole thing that he couldn't even get the ball 30 yards down. Of course,
untrue. He could throw the out. He could throw the out. He could throw. And the other thing that I disagree with, I've heard a lot of people say, the ability to make all the throws as an NFL quarterback is overrated. I couldn't disagree with that more.
Right.
I think if I want people to name me a really, really good quarterback. A really successful NFL quarterback that couldn't make all the throws. I don't think you have too many that you're going to come up with.
I don't think there are any.
I think there are some guys that struggle on certain passes. Joe Montana could make all the throws. I know a lot of people don't think he had this great arm, but he had a good enough arm.
You don't need a great arm to make all the throws.
Right. And this guy, as you pointed out, it's the short stuff that he struggles with a lot.
Well, part of the all the throws, because I think when you say all the throws, most people assume, oh, he means that 15-yard out. Oh, you know, that tough one, which is admittedly no college quarterbacks really throw it. As Bill always talks about, it's all the bubble screens, tear screens, deep balls. The intermediate stuff isn't part of their game. I don't think Tim Tebow can throw a slant pass. I think in the NFL, you need to be able to say, you run a slant five times in a row, and I'm going to hit you in the hands the same place each of the five times. I think you run a slant with Tim Tebow five times in a row, you're going to get five different ball placements. I think if you run it five times in a row with Tom Brady, for the most part, you're going to get four or five of the same throw.
Yeah,
to me, that's all the throws in the NFL. Being able to do that consistently, I don't think Tim Tebow could replicate a single throw he makes ever.
Now, I'm a little bit more on board with you now with that, and I want to get more into this Tebow stuff. I know we're coming up against a break here because I do think that we've sort of talked about the Mickey Mouse aspect of the game, you know, the sideshow that is Tim Tebow. We haven't really broken down exactly physically what we think.
The whole group of Broncos, led by wide receiver Matthew Willis, Demaryius Thomas, and assistant coaches Tebowing on the 40-yard line at the stadium, and NFL Films crews are taping them do it.
All right, so let's get into some of them. I want to get into more of the football stuff because I'm interested really in what you just talked about in terms of Tebow's throwing ability. We've talked a lot about the sideshow that comes with Tebow, but let's get back to that when we get back to our final break.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autograph memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
This is Patriots kicker Steve Gostkowski, and you're inside the Patriots pregame social.
He should have added in that he's going to set a new record for longest field goal ever today.
What's the record?
63, no? It's like a lot of guys that have done it now. Janikowski, I think, has one. Jason Elam, Tom Dempsey.
Who cares?
Well, I don't know. God, obviously.
Oh, I don't include Dempsey. He had the flat foot, right? That's not fair.
God obviously cares. I mean, he's...
He had a sledgehammer.
He worships... Matt Prater.
That's true.
Time now, Andy, for our autotrader.com emailer of the week.
Woo!
And this week's winner of the $100 gift card from the Patriots Pro Shop is Tony in Toronto. And I'm going to read his email.
Tony has done it again.
And you'll know why exactly that Matt picked this emailer as the emailer of the week. This is for Eric Negativino. Scrabble word of the day, grandiloquent. Describes him perfectly. Now go write another postcard that has you believing that you're James Joyce. Anyway, speaking of the expendable components of Patriots.com, another shot there.
That was well done.
Any chance we can get rid of that Adam Jones? Well, that's we like Adam. We need a post-game social in the worst way anyway, and Adam is just another ESPN hack. We need more Andy and more Paul. Stat. Tony in Toronto.
Paul, but we need more Andy.
Yeah, I figured you'd go that way. Anyway, Tony, congratulations. You are the winner of this week's AutoTrader.com email. And did you know that AutoTrader.com has brand spanking new cars? You do now. Compare new cars and even special offers side by side so you can find the perfect deal on the car that your head and heart agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace. And congratulations, Tony, in Toronto. You will be receiving a $100 gift card to the Patriots Pro Shop. I wanted to get back to Tebow, Andy, and I wanted to read Jack in New Hampshire. Not a big Tebow fan, but he is helping with the W in the win column. I hear a lot of people talking about quarterback mechanics and completions. How many completions did Big Ben have in his first Super Bowl? Do you want a quarterback to look pretty throwing the ball with perfect mechanics or get the W? I do. I do hope Tebow gets a hiccup today if it's close at the end in the fourth. Any thoughts on that email?
Well, I know Big Ben was not nearly the passer he is now back then, but I could say that about
he was
Tom Brady.
Very, very good in the playoffs, by the way.
Yes.
Just
but he
not
could throw.
Just not in the Super Bowl.
He could throw.
He was very good in the postseason
that season.
He can make
throws from anywhere. He keeps plays alive like Tebow does, but can turn them into big plays. Tebow can't make throws that Roethlisberger makes with his feet planted in the pocket. So that's the difference. And it's not Tebow's fault. Roethlisberger was a thrower in college. He threw the ball a lot in college. Tebow didn't throw the ball a ton. They ran that offense. He did his little jump passes. But all these people seem to think that he's going to get better. It's the Fred argument that I don't see.
And that's what I wanted to get to you about, because I have been wholeheartedly with you in terms of my doubts about Tebow, the quarterback, not the person. You hate the person, too.
I've never met him, so hate to
But Tebow, the quarterback.
I've said it on multiple TV stations, so I should have thought of that before I said it on
I've
TV,
had my but. Doubts, some serious doubts, that he's good enough to throw the ball at an NFL level consistently enough to score points. I'm starting to think that he can get better based on some of the fourth quarters that he's had. I think he's looked better the last couple of weeks than he did, say, in the first four or five. You don't sound like you think he's getting any better.
No.
Is there specific
I've seen
things?
A handful of throws that are nice, yeah. And I think he can do that, a handful of throws. I think when you win in the NFL, you need to do that 60-something percent of the time. Throw the ball where you want it to go, complete them, stay on the field, and all that. And I don't think he has that in him. I'm sorry. I just don't. I actually think the reason people argue about all the other stuff, he just wins and this and that, is because there is no debate about him as a passer. It's not debatable. He sucks. So
there's
no argument.
He certainly does right
now. There's no back and forth to have.
Right. And this is why I kind of wanted to, and we have, 20 minutes left in the show here before we get ready for the game.
Yeah. Got a call in from Eric.
We will go to Eric.
That'll take 10 seconds.
But I do want to get your thoughts.
Not the only thing he does for 10 seconds.
I'm trying to keep the other stuff out of it. I'm trying to keep all he does is win. I'm trying to keep that element, the stuff that you can't tangibly define. I'm trying to keep out of it. There are a lot of young quarterbacks that come into the league and have a hard time completing passes, even the most routine ones, on a consistent basis. Why can this guy not get better and other guys have been able to get better?
Because he's fundamentally flawed. He can't throw the football. It's mechanical. I don't think there's a lot of guys with anywhere near his mechanics that suddenly become very good passers. I can't think of any. I think guys that come in with such severely flawed mechanics usually leave with severely flawed mechanics. Right?
You want to know who his mechanics kind of remind me of? A guy who could throw the ball a mile but couldn't make those short passes? Byron Leftwich when he came out of college.
Yeah, I think Byron Leftwich had a long motion, but I think he was a better thrower. I don't think anyone's ever had the telegraphing start way down low length of it that he has. Even got Kerry Collins has a long motion, but he has a more traditional long motion. It's up and it's... He starts way down low.
The windmill?
Yeah. And I remember talking to Teddy Bruschi about it when he was coming out. He's like, I know when he's throwing because a half a second before he throws, he's telling me he's throwing. So there's an advantage there for defensive players. Now, you may lose the advantage because if you run and cover the receiver, the ball probably won't be there. So you're actually taking yourself out of the play by getting closer to the receiver. But I can't think of anybody who's been as flawed mechanically as he is that fixed it. And just said, okay, I know everybody likes to say Phillip Rivers has a little bit of a quirky delivery. He does, but
he's always been accurate.
Right,
though.
Right. And he's always
if he has that quirky delivery,
it.
If Tebow was a 65% passer with that delivery, I would say that delivery is a non-factor now.
Right, but
it's not. He's a 48% passer with a bad delivery.
But I also think it's a little different it looks different when Rivers, but it doesn't take nearly as long. He doesn't telegraph throws like Tebow does.
Correct.
So I think there's a difference there. Bruce is saying,
I
know when
you.
He's throwing because he's telling me he's throwing. He's showing me I'm going to be throwing. It's going to be leaving my hand in the next, three quarters of a second or whatever it takes for him to get bottom to top. There's an advantage there for the defense. I just And I don't think you can get by doing what he's doing. He has to get better if he's going to be a long-term option at a quarterback. You can't be bad for three quarters and be good in the fourth and win. It won't happen. And I also don't think you can win in this league consistently right now by being, even if he gets good at it, by being a, you know, 16 of 20 passer. There's going to be days you need to throw it 25, 30, 35, 40 times. Can Tebow do that?
I totally agree with that. Oh, what a big hit by London Fletcher in the Giants game. Matt, let's go quick to the Facebook page and get another poll before we touch base with Eric, as Andy alluded to a little bit earlier. What do we got?
Well, we went with your question, how many yards will Tim Tebow throw for? And we went 0 to 99, 100 to 199, 200, 299, 300 plus.
And Paul is voting. Before you tell us, Paul has voted.
I'm going to vote for 300 plus.
Okay.
You would be the only one.
That's okay.
0%.
That's okay.
The overwhelming favorite, 100 to 199 with 65%, 200 to 299 with 24%, and 0 to 99 with 12%.
I think the up to 299 is probably the right answer.
It's probably in the high 200s, but the reason I say this is because I think the Patriots are going to blow them out. I think the Patriots are going to absolutely blow them out in this game, and he's going to have to do what Andy just said. He can't go 16 for 20. He's going to have to throw the ball 35-plus times, and when you do that, you tend to complete some of them, and that's where I think the yards are going to come from. That's all.
No,
it's not like
I agree with
you. I think he's going to come in and light it up and pick this bad secondary apart. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking
it's not
that.
It's not going to get into Dan Orlovsky land, is it, though? Where they're all garbage yards that make you recover an onside kick to win the game.
Yeah, no,
if it's an onside kick that they're trying, seeing what we've seen over the last month plus, there's a good chance might get it.
When was the last time you heard Bill Belichick talk for 5 minutes over how good a kick was on an onside kick?
And he was right, though.
Oh,
there's no doubt they should have had that, and they're fighting over it.
But that was a great kick. And
that's what
Bill Belichick was talking
about.
That's
why Jesus prays to Prater.
All right, we're going to head out to whatever it is that they call that field out at Mile High nowadays and talk to Eric Scalavino.
I still call it Mile High, Paul. I'm sorry.
Well, that's part of the name. It's something else at Mile High, but it used to be Invesco. But what's it called now? Sports Authority Field at Mile High. Okay.
Yeah. We just call it Mile High.
What do you got? Anything?
I'm sorry?
I said, what do you got? Anything?
All right, then.
Yeah, no, it's pretty. It's a beautiful day out here, Paul. Perfect conditions for football, and it's going to be an epic game. I can already tell.
So you're not going back or having any second thoughts on your prediction of the Broncos winning this game? It sounds like.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And the conditions are lining up perfectly for it to happen, I think.
And what would those be?
Hmm?
What would those be? Just out of curiosity.
Well, both teams have shown up.
Both teams have showed up.
Yeah.
See, and you were making fun of me for asking him that question.
I think that's a bad sign.
We got some radio gold right there from Eric.
That's a bad sign for the Broncos that the Patriots showed up.
Yeah, I agree. What else you got? I know the kickers.
Putting on a show?
65-yard range?
You must have been drooling. I mean, this is your heaven. Kickers booting it from 60-plus.
It really is. I mean, the air is thin. The weather is perfect. These guys are drilling it so easily. It's amazing.
What were they drilling exactly?
I chuckle.
I could see the chuckle through the phone. Believe me. A Thunder is now out on the field. The white Bronco horse that they ride after each score. So you might not be the last time we see Bronco today. Thunder today.
You are a very, very negative little man that people don't like.
That's okay.
You seem to really be taking the Andy Hart approach. I'd rather be right than see the Patriots win. I picked the Broncos. I'm sticking with it.
I would always rather be right. You know that.
Wow. Well, have you ever been wrong?
Yes, on occasion.
Okay.
About six career choices. Made him laugh out loud with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for the rare occasion you were actually funny.
Okay. Let's look at defensive side of the football. We've had some questions. Are we still going to see Matthew Slater as this team's or one of this team's primary safeties?
Yes, we are. It looked like he and Ahedebo were the starting combination during team warm-up period. The second rotation was Brown and Ventrone, the recently recalled up practice squatter. But, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Slater today.
Okay, let's move it up front, how they may approach the Broncos. Everybody assumes the Broncos are going to run the ball. That's something different I'll ask you in a minute. But assuming the Broncos do run the ball, is this going to be a heavy day, maybe more Brandon Dedrick? What did you see up front?
I saw some Ron Brace rotating in there quite a bit. Some Sean Ellis.
He's still on this team?
Yeah, he is actually. He was out here quite early, getting a stretch with about half a dozen other Patriots,
earning that $4 million.
Some of whom were, some of whom weren't on the injury report this week, getting some extra workout time with Moses Cabrera, the strength and conditioning coach.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. Not exactly sure why some of those guys were out here that early. But
getting acclimated to the air?
Maybe, but some of the guys were on the report, some weren't. I found it curious as to why that was so.
Well, they all have to breathe.
Well, yeah, but you know, what about the rest of them?
I don't know. You've been there for 2 days. They should be acclimated by now. Okay, let's flip to the offensive side of the football.
Yep.
Obviously, Deion Branch not going to be on the field today.
Correct.
What'd you see in the personnel groupings, rotational work at receiver, breakout day for Chad Ochocinco?
So a lot of Chad Ochocinco early on in warmups and then also in the team period. Also saw one interesting little thing, not necessarily with the wide receivers lining up wide, but hadn't seen this combination before. Brady under center, Falk directly behind him about 5 to 7 yards, and split flanking Brady sort of in between him and Falk were Edelman to the right and Underwood to the left. They ended up both at the snap of the ball blocking out to their respective sides, and the handoff went to Falk, who ran up the middle.
So like an inverse bone?
Almost, yeah. Interesting formation. I hadn't seen that ever before, and especially not with that personnel grouping.
That's a lot of little guys.
Yeah, as I mentioned that to Fred Kirsch, he said, you know, sometimes they tend to do a little too cutesy things when they get into games like this. the game that came to mind to me, though, was the Jets game from a couple of years ago when they went greaseboard.
Yeah.
The one with the first Kevin O'Connell game.
So sounds like Fred's worried based on these little things.
He's a little anxious, I think.
Oh,
I think
boy.
That'd be the right
wow.
Yeah.
Freddie.
Speaking of being a little anxious, Green Bay is about to go down.
Actually, no, he just corrected me. He's a nervous wreck.
Wow, he's a nervous wreck.
That's
well,
interesting.
You tell him that we
right from the horse's mouth, if you'll pardon.
We had a late cancellation for our out of town reporter, and Andy suggested, and I seconded it, that we got Fred to get the Broncos' perspective, but we didn't follow through.
I can confirm though that he's not wearing his Mecklenburg jersey with the 7 under each arm.
Sure?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to just BS around. We get some more football to talk.
Okay, sorry.
okay, sorry, Mr. Sirius.
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead.
Getting back to the defensive side of the ball, I forgot to ask you. We had some questions talking about the linebacker position. We expect to see a lot of Dane Fletcher today. There was even the possibility people posed of, you know, him being a so-called spy on Tim Tebow. What do you see up front there?
Yeah, I see a lot of Dane Fletcher, and I think that spy thing, there might be something to that.
Okay.
Just based on the way he was moving around a little bit in warmups, wouldn't discount that by any means. And,
okay, now
go ahead. Sorry.
Now let's talk to the guy he would be spying, Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, the assumption is they're going to do what they do and hand the ball off, run the ball, go 3 and out a bunch of times. Is there any chance we see a spread them out gun Tebow where he comes out, maybe throws the ball a dozen, 15, 20 times in the first half here? You see anything that would lead you to believe that in pregame warmups?
Well, he was doing a lot of throwing from the shotgun in pregame warmups, particularly about, we got here about 2.5 hours before kickoff. He was already out here at that point with, you know, members of the equipment staff, and he was in that formation. He had somebody snapping to him from a shotgun formation, and he was throwing a lot of out patterns, mostly, 15, 20-yard type deals to get himself limbered up. And, and that led me to believe that, you know, maybe they have something scripted where they're going to come out and just try to throw the ball, keep the, if the Patriots, especially if they're trying to load the box up with 8, 9 guys, to try to stop the run there, that maybe he's going to try to, you know, outwit them and try to spread them out and try to kill them that way.
Okay.
Something to keep an eye on.
My last question for you, and since you are our special teams reporter, you've obviously kept an eye on the kickers. How about the punters? Zoltan Mesko booming any and getting into the fun of the thin air?
Oh, absolutely. He looked about as good as I've ever seen him, actually, in pregame warmups. Glad you mentioned that. He even had one where he was standing at about the his own 35, 37 around there, and he booted one that he placed perfectly right down inside the two. Freddie pointed that one out, too. But also a lot of high, perfect spirals turning over. It looked great. And the same thing with Colquitt on the other side of the ball. Both of them all the kickers today look like they're going to have, you know, some of their best days ever with the conditions as they are today.
Okay, so before we let you go, we're going to ask you one last time. Do you want to change your opinion, or have you brought the negativity to Fred Kirsch, and does he want to change his opinion of what's going to transpire in this game?
I'm not changing my opinion. I still think it's going to be a thrilling game. You know, I could still see the Patriots getting up early, and it's going to, you know, I'm curious to see what happens in the fourth quarter. The Patriots have had their struggles keeping leads. The Broncos have been at their best coming back from deficits at that time. I still think it's going to play out that way. I'm not going to change my opinion. I don't know, Freddie, are you still going to? He's still going with the Patriots?
Blah, 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 blah.
He's still going with the Patriots, he says, but he's nervous as hell.
Okay. All right. Well, tell him to put his depends on so he doesn't have any accidents, and we'll talk to you guys after the game.
All right, I have one final question just really quick. Last week we had Petrucci singing karaoke. This week I hear Perillo rapping. What's up with that?
Yes, P-Sizzle.
Yeah, that's P-Sizzle to you. You can check that out in the podcast.
I'll have to download the podcast later.
All right.
On your iPhone.
All right, guys. As always, safe travels. Eric, we'll see you in a bit.
Okay.
More like, like tomorrow. Anyway, just happened to notice, Andy, as you were talking to Eric, some of the scores from around. I think Aaron Rodgers is 4-for-12 for like 30 yards in that game. Did he get hurt and is he out of the game?
So he's not playing the position as well as anyone's ever played it?
Well, but evidently he's not playing the position at all. But I'm not sure on that. But just, 5 minutes left in the game, he's only thrown the ball 12 times.
Speaking of
also,
moments,
the Colts who were, 20-6 ahead, well, it became 20-13 with about 3.5 minutes left. They got the ball on their own 20. The next thing I knew, Donald Brown went 80 yards for a touchdown. So it's now 27-13. So it looks indeed like the Colts will get their first victory.
Patriots-related notes, old friend Brandon Tate having a big day for the Bengals.
Reggie
on returns.
Bush, 203 yards. Brandon Tate, big day on returns. What is going
56-yard
on?
56-yard kickoff return and a bunch of punt returns. He was averaging like 30 yards a return on both or something. Big day in the return.
And you know
game.
What's funny about that? And I'm not being hypocritical here. I have no problems with getting rid of Brandon Tate. I still don't have any problems. But the Patriots return game has been dormant.
Yes.
Absolutely dormant.
Especially on kickoffs. I went with the theory of
invisible.
Always find a good kick returner.
Invisible.
Every time they need
on
one, they get
returns.
One. It's Hobbs. It's Maroney. It's this. Well, it didn't work this time because whether it's been Woodhead or whoever else been back there, they've sucked.
Can call Woodhead Mr. Touchback because he's bringing it out to the 20 no matter
the
what.
The human touchback.
The human touchback.
That's good. I'm going to use that in the what do we call it, the read and react in the paper? The human touchback.
I'm no longer a fan of, Eric.
The Patriots?
No, not Eric Scalavino, but Eric Friends, friend of the show. He sends an email here. He's very mean. He says, I should never leave PFW to pursue a rap career.
I wouldn't worry about it.
That's
mean. Haven't seen a lot of offers flowing in, at least not on Twitter. I'm monitoring it. I was hoping I'd be able to get you a contract.
I do want to read Eric's email in all seriousness. He hopes the fact that it isn't a poem doesn't count against him.
Well, how do you know it's not a poem? It doesn't rhyme just like Tim's poems do, so
that's
it's
true.
The same.
I completely agree with Andy's perspective that Tim Tebow's mechanics likely won't be fixed. Remember all the pre-draft hype about his improved mechanics. He regresses to what's comfortable and natural for him when he's in the pocket.
Yep.
The bigger question is whether the Broncos can figure out the option and utilize it in a way that is effective for them going forward and whether or not that can have prolonged success in the NFL. Thanks for taking my email and enjoy the game. I would agree with you both about the mechanics. I don't think that's going to ever get fixed. I just think that he can complete passes with bad mechanics. I think other guys have done that.
Yeah, that's I don't all. Think other guys have done that at a good level.
What were you all excited about as I was in the middle of reading that? Did something come up that interested you in terms of a score?
No, I was just thinking of my Who's Hot box that I have to write for the paper. It'll be Reggie Bush. It's a layup.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
I have to search to find guys that are hot. Layup. Who's hot?
Okay. Aaron Rodgers still playing, by the way. He just scored a touchdown.
And he's only thrown the ball 12 times in a game that they're losing. That doesn't make any sense to me.
He's playing the position as well as anyone ever has. And our old friend, who people are trying to get rid of, just walked into the studio to watch the game. Adam Pac-Man Jones will be with you post-game. He's ready. Whether you want him or not, he's going to be there. Tebowing. He's got some food, too.
Colin in Brussels doesn't like the fact that we didn't give the email of the week to the rap guy. The rap was excellent, but, sometimes these decisions are made beforehand.
All decisions are final, too.
And they are all final. Christian, the West Coast Christian, who is excited about sending in another email, I'm a regular now. Paul, I am not opposed to making fun of you guys, but it would be Eric or being made fun of. But no, I wasn't making fun. The rap from the UK that you read was hilarious. and you reading was just good, clean fun. So thanks, and I mean everyone except Eric.
WCC, West Coast Christian.
Do you think the Pats will win the Super Bowl, says, I don't know, some guy with a weird email address?
Yig Dick Rick. No, I do not think the Patriots win the Super Bowl. I'm kind of with, who was it earlier? Was our fan earlier? Johnny, who sees them being in a tight game today and won't feel any different afterwards because he thinks they're going to have a tremendous regular season and then lose in the playoffs. This defense, I started in week one and said it's the worst I've ever seen from Bill Belichick. It's still the worst I've ever seen from Bill Belichick.
That is true.
We had our worst performance I've ever seen from the defense. That's the worst I've ever seen. You can't win multiple postseason games with a terrible defense like
Here's
that.
Here's one right up Andy Hart's alley from the Fox Seed Landscaping Company.
If you need a new lawn, go to foxseed.com and the Fox Seed Landscaping Company.
Do you think Tebow's fourth quarter comebacks have anything to do with the fact that he's a virgin and has that little extra stamina in the fourth quarter?
That's a good point. Although you'd think he would blank his blank early.
Okay, Todd, I'm glad.
You know what I'm saying?
Todd, thank you very much for giving us
load.
Some information here. Aaron Rodgers is 17 for 35, so whatever that 4 for 12 was either on a drive or, you know, after that, whatever.
Still a Tebow-like 49% or whatever,
no,
right?
But I was not fixating on the fact that he wasn't having a good day. I mean, the 7 points on the board for Green Bay told me that.
Think
the fact that he had only thrown...
as bad as anyone has played the position right now.
I thought he was injured, only having thrown the ball 12 times in a game that they were losing in the fourth quarter. Evidently, he's thrown the ball 35 times. So I no longer think he's hurt. That was my only point. I know you're just trying to be argumentative and persnickety, but
no, I'm
going to ignore you. Because I know Tom Brady didn't have any games in 2007 play.
I'm just surprised they haven't named the position
great.
Aaron Rodgers. You play the AR. You don't play the QB. You're AR.
Okay. Anyway, with Andy's obnoxiousness, we will Woo-hoo! Bring this one to a close.
But unlike our obnoxious fans, I think the Patriots are going to blow the bleeping Broncos out. I'm not like Fred Kirsch. I'm not getting worried
last minute.
And I think, if anything, you may see a McCourty pick. You may see a Matthew Slater interception. Patriots will be having fun at Sports
Bold
Authority
prediction.
Field.
Matthew Slater pick, but I do think they come up with two picks today. Andy's right, 34-10. I don't think this game is even going to be in question
when we
get to the second half.
T-blowing, T-blowed out.
As always, get over to the curse words and make sure you needle Freddy's nervous so you could send him right over the edge. Curse words on the Patriots.com. website right now that's open for business. We will see you next week.
This has been the JetBlue Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots take on the Denver Broncos from Mile High Stadium.
Sanchez awaiting the snap. He's got it. Drops back. Stands at the goal line. Looks. Fires over the middle. Intercepted. At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown. Patriots. Rob Ninkovich.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Fourth and goal. San Diego. Patriot 1 yard line. High formation behind Rivers. McMichael in motion, left to right. Handoff in the backfield comes to Tolbert. He is hit and stopped. Patriots defense holds. Gerard Mayo.
We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV.